This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Today, we're going to be talking about a really practical aspect of having a biblically ordered family. We're going to be talking about family devotions.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Okay.
Uh-oh. Everyone says, oh, no, guilt.
Bringing out the 40-pound guilt hammer, and I just know. No, we're not going to do that. Our goal is to try to set captives free. And so we're going to talk about, what are some practical things you can do to teach the Bible to your family in an orderly way?
Make it easier, make it doable. Because, you know, we all know we're supposed to be doing it. But, you know, even when we talk to, like, super-duper Christian families, that's a major problem that we see. They're not having family devotion.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that come into this. Of course, if it's good, if it's something that's going to help your family grow in the Lord and is going to honor God, then naturally you're going to have opposition. You know, you have a spiritual opponent who is out there trying to tear your family away from you, trying to prevent people from coming into the kingdom. And if you can't do that, then trying to make them ineffective.
Yeah.
Trying to overload them with guilt that's already been paid for so that they don't do what they should do.
So they don't even want to think about it, because when they think about it, they feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just keep doing what they've been doing, which is nothing. It's hard.
Yeah.
I felt that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, one of the things that I found most helpful, and this is something I want you to kind of keep in mind. Years ago, I heard I want to say pastor, but he was so much more than a pastor. He founded a pastoral training academy, basically a Bible college, and trained, you know, dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds of men to be Bible-oriented, gospel-preaching ministers. And one of the things he said, one of the things he told his ministerial students was, if you talk to such and such a man in our church, he said, you know, this is a godly man, he's in his late 80s, he's been a believer for 65, 70 years or something, and he said, he will tell you the greatest spiritual battle he faces is to get up every morning and to have his quiet time.
Wow.
And he said, you know what? I've been a believer for, you know, going on 45, 50 years, whatever, at that time. He said, that's the same thing for me. The hardest thing I do every day for the Lord is to open up my Bible and spend some time in prayer.
Wow.
Now, you know, if somebody who is, you know, that it was a leader in his denomination and has been training godly pastors and has a lifetime of service, faithful service in God's kingdom, and he says, I struggle to be constant and consistent in my daily devotions. You know, I look at that and I say, I guess I'm not as rotten as I thought. Maybe I should take heart and just keep pulling along and know that these elderly saints are in the same battle than I am. It's not that I'm crummy.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of
part
of the struggle.
It's part of the battle. And, you know, that's what we've got to remember. If we are in a battle, we're in a battle for our children's souls.
Right.
You know, and it's worth what it takes. Yeah, you know, I think there's some really basic things that help make this a lot easier.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But I want to say that take that as your first takeaway. Go ahead and start again. And if you blow it this week, start again the next day.
Yeah.
And if you completely blow it, start again.
Yep.
Just keep starting over. If you have to start over 18 times a month, do it.
Yes.
Okay, don't just sit there and say, well, I failed. I might as well just lay here until I die.
Yeah, that's what killed me about dieting for so many years, Al. Because I'd get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be strong today. I'm going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I would make it to whatever time, and I would be so hungry I couldn't think, and I would blow it. And I'd say, oh, well, that's the end of today. Mm-hmm. And I'd keep picking out all day. That's really stupid.
That is dumb, but we are dumb, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's first thing. Start over. Start as many times as need be.
Yeah.
Now, I think you've got something even simpler than that.
Yeah. Keep it short.
Keep it short.
Keep it short. You know, because the thing is, mm-hmm. if you have wonderful, amazing, bang up family devotions and you do all the stuff everybody mentions
mm-hmm.
and it takes 2 hours, you're not going to be doing it again for 2 months.
That's reality.
It really is.
And they're great. I mean, some days you will have devotions that just seem to go on and it's fantastic and it's a mountaintop, but you can't do that every day of the week.
No.
I mean, just life intrudes. The spirit sometimes doesn't seem quite as close. And certainly our hearts grow cold. And
sometimes you have wiggly children.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a child that, I tell you what, is like, it hurts her to sit still.
Mm.
I have the hardest time with her in devotions. And we'll talk about what to do about wiggly children in a little while.
Yeah.
But the important part about keeping it short is that you keep it doable. It's got to be doable.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a really long one, it just goes really great, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, keep it short.
Yeah.
Because it's got to fit into your schedule. It's got to be doable. It's got to be something you and your children don't dread.
Yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. got to be sweet. You know, I want our children to think back to the times we spent together with the Word of God
mm-hmm.
as sweetness.
Yeah. That's something they look back. They look back. And, you know, you can read this. If you read some of the old spiritual biographies and things, you know, back in the 1800s especially, you'll often read these giants of the faith, and they're saying, oh, and I remember those days around the kitchen table. Dad would open up the Bible, and we would spend some time before the Lord. And, you know, and they look back at those things, and they remember them with great fondness and warmth. I don't want our kids to have those kind of memories of our home.
Well, you know what? I remember singing hymns once. In devotions when my grandfather was visiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't come to the Lord until he was a pretty old man. We talked about that on our blog.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really sweet story about him and my grandmother out on our blog.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't come to the Lord till later. So I didn't think that would mean anything to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember we started singing those old hymns,
mm-hmm.
and he started weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And he said with tears in his eyes that he remembered singing those songs when he was a little boy in his family. Wow. You know, how that must have, for that to stick with him over all those decades,
mm-hmm.
how powerful that was. And, you know, I'm sure that his mother and his father despaired. They had been with the Lord many years mm-hmm. before he came to the Lord. And I'm sure they despaired, but they didn't know he was going to come to the Lord late.
Yeah. Yeah, and the seeds that they planted when he was a child have likely, you know, been the source of that fruit later in life. And, you know, now they're reunited and rejoicing before the throne together for eternity. So, you know, first off, go ahead and start over as frequently as possible. Keep it short so that you can keep going with it, so you can make it consistent. Now, what else would you say we've learned about this?
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
You know, at the very basic, open the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
read a small portion, a paragraph maybe.
Yep.
Explain it to your kids and pray. At least that.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that when you're talking family devotions for, you know, small children in the house and maybe elderly visitors or whatever, this is not the time to do your deep language study, to get out the concordance and look up every parsed verb and everything.
And there will be a time for that. There are times our older children, our teenagers, our college students have called us and said, okay, you know, somebody said this and I don't know what that means. And you get out the Bible helps and you go into a deep study with them. Yeah, there's time for that.
There is, and that's good time with an older, you know, an older child or your personal time. Yeah, don't do away with those. But just for this family time, it does need to be simple. It needs to be enough to share some of the word, to explain it so that the little ones are getting a diet of truth.
You know, you can use the devotional. Mm-hmm. Most of them are pretty simplistic, though. And often they bounce around in the Word of God. I think it's a good idea, if possible, and it's really simple,
mm-hmm.
to choose a book mm-hmm. and just start reading. And in some books, you're going to read a chapter because it's a story.
Right.
And in others, like Paul, you might read a sentence because it's so rich.
Well, it's just like today in family devotions, we've been going through the book of Philippians. And we were in Philippians chapter 4, and the only verse we looked at was Philippians 4:8. You know, it's the one that starts with, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are right. You know, and you go through that whole list that just basically says, let's meditate on these things. You know, let your mind dwell on these things.
Well, there was so much we needed. There was so much excellent application in that verse
mm-hmm.
that we needed to talk about. You know, mm-hmm. so many things that we need to talk about with our children about media choices
mm-hmm.
and things that they put into their minds. It was very fruitful, I thought.
I think so, too, because that's one of those verses that I refer to so often in my own heads. You know, when I'm encountering things and maybe my spiritual state is not where it should be on a given day, or maybe I'm being challenged in a particular way, and I think back to that saying, okay, am I meditating on the fruitful, the edifying, the beautiful, the God-honoring things, which really should be our daily thought process. And so, you know, yeah, so that's a third thing, then. Keep it started as needed, keep it short, and keep it simple.
And one thing I wanted to mention about that, Hal, is we used something for devotions early in our marriage that really helped me understand how to take a small passage in order, reading through a book in order, and how to draw application out of it.
Yes, and let me give you this title. Now, do not be alarmed, okay? This was written in the late 1800s. Think of the
time
period.
But it's not hard to understand.
No.
But the title sounds really scary.
The title is regrettable. It is Expository Thoughts on the Gospels.
Wow.
It's by J.C. Ryle, who became a bishop in the Anglican Church. He was a bishop of Liverpool. But you got to understand, the Anglican Church had different groups within it. And there were some groups that were Anglo-Catholic, and they were very high church, very formal, liturgical. But then there was what they called the low church movement. And they had more common...
And now that didn't mean low, like low-down, terrible people. That meant that it was more accessible. It was really...
It was more in common with people like Charles Spurgeon,
yeah.
Like D.L. Moody, these kind of people...
Who believed in the priesthood of believers.
Yeah, people who didn't preach down to the people, but got down and preached to the people in a way that was understandable, a way that they could learn, that, oh, guess what? That they could make biblical life practical in their homes.
See, J.C. Ryle was very concerned about making the Bible and biblical theology and biblical mm-hmm. ideas accessible to ordinary people.
Right. And so what he does in this is actually a set of four commentaries, and he goes through short passages. Sometimes it's a large part of a chapter, but sometimes it's just a few verses. And he'll take two or three pages in most editions just to explain these few verses.
Well, you know, it starts short. In Matthew, they're really short. Like, I think they're even less than a page, Hal, in Matthew. And as he goes through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he gets to John, he gets a deeper, more explanation and bigger ideas and more application.
Yeah.
So it's great training in doing family devotion.
I remember somebody gave us a set of these as a wedding present. And I remember as we read through them that first year we were married, you know, I really gained some understanding of how much is reasonable to cover in a single day and what kind of things to look for. What, you know, when you read a passage, what should you be alert for to say, okay, here's a point that Paul is making. Here's a point that Moses was bringing out or that the prophet was trying to explain, and highlight that in your mind to say, that seems to be a key point in this passage.
Yeah, it's excellent. Now, don't panic if you're trying to remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
We will put it in the show notes.
Right.
So go to halandmelanie.com/radio
uh-huh.
and just scroll down to the bottom. It'll be in the archives tomorrow.
Yes.
And we'll put it there in the notes with the link to the archives.
That's right. You can find it in Google Books. It's in the Google Library. It's easy to find. So
halandmelanie.com/radio.
Hey,
scroll down until you see it.
You know what? We've run over our time a little bit. We need to talk about some upcoming events.
Yes.
We are going to be in Lexington, Kentucky this Friday, okay?
Well, Georgetown outside Lexington.
Well, it's between the two. The two nestle up against each other.
Anyway, okay.
North Lexington, South Georgetown, it's the Georgetown Homeschool Group. We're going to be speaking for them at True Life Church on Kingston Drive, and that's going to be starting at 7 p.m. So if you're listening to this anywhere near the date. This is the September 22nd date, and so Friday will be the
26th.
I think that's correct.
26. I'm counting my fingers.
That's
right. Ridiculous.
Okay, so Friday, September 26, 2014, we'll be in Georgetown and or Lexington for the Georgetown Homeschool Group.
Now, 2 weeks later, we're going to be at Jeunesse Park in the glorious Sierra Mountains of California.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we're going to be there for a family camp. Mm-hmm. I just encourage you to go check it out. It's going to be so much fun.
That's right.
The theme is Break the Siege. You know, we've kind of holed up in our homes trying to protect our children from the world. It's time to go out and engage the world, prepare our children to break the siege.
Yes, that's right. So we're going to be talking about that, and it's going to be a good time. Of course, wonderful place, gorgeous countryside up there.
Okay, Jeunesse, go to jeunessepark.com, J-E-N-N-E-S-S, park.com.
Yes.
Click on Family Camps, Homeschool Family Camp,
right,
and you'll see it there. Register. It's not too late. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
You got, I think, 160 people coming
already. They're moving up on 200 families now. So
great.
So it's going to be a great gathering.
It's going to be so much fun.
That's right.
With a medieval theme, it's going to be a blast. Now, shortly after that, when we get back, we're starting the next session of Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Right.
That's one of the most popular webinar series we do.
Mm-hmm.
Families can meet us live online, or you can listen to the recordings.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about how do you survive that 9 to 13, 14 stage.
Right. If you've got preteen sons and they are driving you up the wall, we need to talk. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's everything we wish we'd known when our oldest was 11.
And didn't figure out until about the third or fourth.
Yeah, really.
Okay. So you can learn from our experience. So come see us at raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Yes.
And if you're in Central North Carolina, if you're in the Raleigh area, we are going to be doing the same seminar as a two-day, actually a Friday night and all-day Saturday, live event.
Yes.
It's going to be hosted by Grace Christian Fellowship in Garner, North Carolina, which is just a suburb of Raleigh. And it's going to be on November 7th and 8th, 2014.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about that more going forward.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing you there. And if you're from out of town, you're welcome to come. We're going to set up a hotel room block.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's get back to talking about this, Hal. We talked about keep it short. Start again.
Go ahead and start it. Start over.
Okay.
And
keep it short.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yes.
Let's talk about managing the kids.
Oh. Yeah.
First of all, this is great training for having them worship with you. Because as they learn to sit and listen to the Word of God, they learn reverence and respect. It helps them learn how to behave in church.
That's right. And so we have some simple rules like, nobody is allowed to lie down during devotions.
Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And the children are sleepy. And it's not because we're up at 5 a.m. either. It's because they're just that way. And so, yeah, because we're not up at 5 a.m., I assure you of that.
No, we're not morning people.
And so, yeah, just make it very simple. That, you know, now's the time to sit still, to be quiet. And if you can train them to keep still for 15 minutes of family devotions or 20 minutes of family devotions, maybe you can start to stretch that out a little bit for a 30-minute sermon. Ooh, isn't that interesting? And you know what? It can be done. We've been amazed. But we have been able to get our boys, to get that B-O-Y-S, boys, to sit still for a sermon, even when they're like three.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
Now,
this is a great place to practice.
Now, it can be really, really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard all kinds of advice, and we've tried some of that advice about, you know, being really harsh about them not moving and stuff.
Yeah.
But I really want them to love our time together in the Word of God. And so, you know, what we have, one thing we've done is, you know, I'll hold the youngest. Sometimes we have a very wiggly youngest who has a very hard time sitting still. Sometimes I brush her hair or do something like that just to keep her a little bit stimulated so that she's not climbing all over the place, because she really struggles to sit still at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, do what it takes to survive. You know, this isn't a contest on whose children can behave the best during devotion. It's going to be a contest to see, can you get it done today?
That's right. And you know what? You go out and you make the best attempt, okay? Because you're not competing for points. You're not going to earn your approval from God. I mean, if you're born again, saved, you are adopted into His family, you don't have to earn that, okay?
And let me encourage you, too, that sometimes those wiggly children that you think didn't hear a thing are really paying attention.
You'd be amazed at that, too.
sometimes they ask the most perceptive questions. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about some things they can do in family devotion. We've talked about just open the Bible, read, explain it, pray.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you begin to get in the, you get in the swing of things, you get that done, and you can stretch it out further. Well, I don't know. Before we talk about that, we ought to talk about time. What time of day?
Well, you know what? There is no given time.
No.
But what we would recommend.
There's no law here.
There's no law. But what we'd recommend is that you find a time that works for you and keep it. And maybe that's after supper. You know, I've heard of families that said, well, that was just, we'd clear the table and we'd all sit back down and Dad would lead us in devotions after dinner every night. You know, I've got a friend who does get up at 0500. My word. That's not our style. But they he gets everybody out of bed and gets them out there on the landing at the top of the stairs, and they have devotions at the dark, the O dark 100 hour. And if that works for their family, great.
You know, don't you get any ideas like that, Hal?
No. See, in our routine, we get up, we do our morning chores and stuff, and then when we sit down for school right after breakfast, that's our time for devotions.
Now, but, you know, before you work from home.
Yes.
We would have devotions in the morning with me and the children like that, right?
Right. That's
at the beginning of school.
Yeah.
But then we'd have devotions with you when you came home in the evenings.
Very good point. Yes, we did. And I'll do that kind of at the time right before bedtime stories.
Yeah, and you know, some people do it right at the end of supper. Somebody will bring Dad's Bible and they'll have devotions. But, you know, you can work it either way. And let me encourage you, if your husband is not interested in having devotions, maybe he's not a believer, maybe you're a single mom. You know, I think the Word of God is on the weight of the mom sharing the gospel with her children and teaching the Bible, the Word of God, to her children. Because look at, you know, like Timothy.
Yeah, Timothy's mother and his grandmother were believers. And Paul talked about, you know, the faith that I saw in your mother and your grandmother, I see in you as well. And you know what? Timothy's father was a Greek, likely a pagan, likely still a practicing pagan if he was still alive. And so, you know, his mother, you know, praise be to God, his mother didn't sit here and say, well, you know, my husband doesn't support this, so I'm going to sit here and wait until God chooses to save him before we ever have devotions.
That's not really helping her husband. That's really passive aggression.
No, it's not really submission.
Yeah, and so, but it's also not very submissive to shame your husband and say, well, now I'm going to have devotions with the children since you won't.
No, that's a bad response there. No, the best thing, I think, is if in the wife in that situation, you know, talks about it with her husband, said, I'd like to be teaching the children the Bible. If you don't mind, I'm going to do that. And do it in such a way that, you know, the children know whether Dad values this or not.
Yeah.
And so Mama doesn't want to throw it up in their dad's face and cause him to be dishonored by the children or make him feel like he's being dishonored, but rather maybe that time in the morning before school when Dad's off at work and they're not being confronted with Dad's refusal to do this, you know, and still Mom can be faithful to what she knows to be right and be true.
And if he's willing, it would be possible even to say, honey, is it okay if I have devotions with the children now? Maybe your children are in school. Maybe you're not with them until evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but show respect to your husband.
Yeah.
But teach your children.
Right.
Now, okay, let's talk about other things you can do in devotions to make it even better.
That's right. And our time is running short, so we're going to have to keep these short and simple.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, like, for example, teach hymns.
Yes.
Wow. Churches need to do that. We need to be learning the old hymns. You know, you can get a hymn book very cheaply, and there's a lot of them available online for free.
Yeah, and that you can listen to the music online and figure out how it's supposed to sound.
We'll put some links for that.
One thing that we've tried to do over the years, and we've done better or worse jobs over the years at this, is have a hymn each week.
Uh-huh.
And each day, I would explain one of the verses to our children of that hymn, but we'd sing the whole thing. We'd sing the whole thing every day, but each day just explain one of the verses.
Uh-huh.
And our children learned so many hymns that way. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the catechism.
Catechisms, okay. That's
now, we're Baptists. Don't hang up thinking that we're not, okay?
No. We are very definitely Baptist. But the catechism is an old term. Basically, it means the discipling teaching that you do to a new believer or to a young believer or to a young, maybe not quite a believer.
And it used to be common in all denominations.
That's right. And so what is it? Well, most catechisms are in a question-answer format. And there's a set list, like the one that we've used is like 150 questions. And you just go over a question or two every day, and you just ask that question, like, who made you?
God made me.
What else did God make?
God made all things.
Why did God make you and all things?
For his own glory.
See, even a three-year-old can learn those.
It is so sweet. Wait till you hear a three-year-old say, for his own glory. It's so cute.
But, see, the nice thing about these is it's organized with some basic truths about the gospel, about the nature of God, about our need for a Savior and how God provided him. And so as you go through this, you're making sure that you touch all those bases.
Now, the one we use is a catechism for boys and girls.
Right.
It's available free online.
That's right.
It's very similar to the children's catechism, which is the Pentabaptist Presbyterian version.
Right.
The catechism for boys and girls is the Baptist version.
That's right.
You can get them both free online.
That's right. Martin Luther wrote a catechism for his children, for his students to use.
And we'll put that in the show notes, too.
Right.
Okay. We talked about hymns, we talked about catechism. Memory work.
Yes.
Teach your children to memorize the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used a bunch of different memory systems. It doesn't matter which one you use.
Yeah.
Just make sure your kids graduate from your home with some things hidden away in their heart, with the Word of God hidden away in their heart.
That's right. And here's one last thing I'd like to say. I think
I've got something else.
Go ahead.
I got a couple more things.
All right, go ahead.
Prayer. I think it's very important, as much as you have time, to let each of your children pray. Because a lot of adults are very uncomfortable praying in public.
Yeah.
And yet there's so many opportunities that you may need to, especially your young men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to need to lead their children. Your girls are going to need to teach their children to pray.
Yeah.
And so give your children a chance to pray. I think that's really important. And share prayer requests. And that's incredibly sweet, too.
Well, and it's good to follow up on those prayer requests later to say, okay, remember we prayed for Mrs. Jones down the street, and she's been to the doctor, and he says she's recovering now, and things are going good. Or we need to keep praying. Things are not going well, whatever it is.
And pray for what's really going on in your family.
Yeah.
Because even if it's hard stuff, when you pray about it and your children see the answers, wow. It's amazing to see how God builds their faith through that. We've seen it in our children.
Yeah, quite so.
Yeah, when we share we have a financial need and the Lord meets it that day, or we're praying for dad's health and God heals him, it's incredible.
It is. It really is. You don't want to deprive your children of that.
Right.
So
one more thing, and then you can say the last thing, okay?
Okay, all right.
One more thing is every once in a while, and I'm not talking about all the time because they need teaching too, but every once in a while, give your children a chance to lead the family in devotion and to have some experience in what it's like to teach. Because we've seen in our older boys, as they've gone off to college, and all of them have led Bible studies in college, that is a tremendously important skill to be able to read a passage, draw some application, and ask questions.
And, that's one of the qualifications to become an elder in church, is that an elder must be able to teach.
Right.
Any practice that you get along the way is only going to help and perhaps qualify your young men for that kind of leadership one day.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we do need to wrap things up.
No, you can say the last thing. Okay, yes. Okay, I'm
done. This is the one thing I'd like to offer. I was thinking about this earlier today. We have all heard that Christianity is not a Sunday morning thing. Christianity should permeate your life. It should be every single day of the life, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whatever it is. You know what? Your morning devotions, your 15 minutes with your children should not be the only time they ever hear you mention the Bible.
Yeah.
It should not be the only time they ever see you pick up a Bible. And just mull that over. Just think, because they know what's important. And if they see that you submit your life to the judgment of God's word, you know what? They'll realize, hey, it's not just my parents' rules. It's God's rules, and we're all under God's rule. And that's an important thing. So keep that in mind as you rise up and as you lie down and as you walk by the way.
Because your children will know what's important by the things you make time for.
That's right.
And when you make time for God, it tells your children that that is what's important in life.
Mm-hmm. So I think we do need to kind of wrap things up here. And
okay.
I want to say we appreciate you being here and joining us. I hope you'll join us again next week or at your leisure if you are online and you're listening to this on iTunes or something else. But we are here every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love for you to come out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/raisingrealmen, Mm-hmm. There's nearly 50,000 people talking about raising godly sons.
Yes, sir.
Facebook.com/HalandMelanie. Mm-hmm. Anywhere in social media /raisingrealmen.
Mm-hmm.
Come tell us that you're listening. Ask us questions. Suggest shows. We'd love to hear what you'd like for us to discuss next.
That's right. So, once again, thanks so much. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.